Chapter 1. Paradise Pickles and Preserves. May in Imanum is a hot, brooding month. The days are long and humid. The river shrinks, and black crows gorge on bright mangoes in still, dust-green trees. Red bananas ripen, jackfruits burst. Dissolute bluebottles hum vacuously in the fruity air. Then they stun themselves against clear window panes and die, fatly baffled in the sun. The nights are clear, but suffused with sloth and sullen expectation. But by early June, the southwest monsoon breaks, and there are 3 months of wind and water, with short spells of sharp, glittering sunshine that thrilled children snatch to play with. The countryside turns an immodest green. Boundaries blur as tapioca fences take root and bloom. Brick walls turn moss green. Pepper vines snake up electric poles. Wild creepers burst through laterite banks and spill across the flooded roads. Boats ply in the bazaars, and small fish appear in the puddles that fill the PWD potholes on the highways. It was raining when Rahel came back to Imanum. Slanting silver ropes slammed into loose earth, ploughing it up like gunfire. The old house on the hill wore its steep, gabled roof pulled over its ears like a low hat. The walls, streaked with moss, had grown soft and bulged a little with dampness that seeped up from the ground. The wild, overgrown garden was full of the whisper and scurry of small lives. In the undergrowth, a rat snake rubbed itself against a glistening stone. Hopeful yellow bullfrogs cruised the scummy pond for mates. A drenched mongoose flashed across the leaf-strewn driveway. The house itself looked empty. The doors and windows were locked, the front veranda bare, unfurnished. But the sky-blue Plymouth with chrome tail fins was still parked outside. And inside, baby Kuchima was still alive. She was Rahel's baby grandaunt, her grandfather's younger sister. Her name was really Navomi, Navomi Ipe. But everybody called her baby. She became baby Kuchima when she was old enough to be an aunt. Rahel hadn't come to see her, though. Neither niece nor baby grandaunt labored under any illusions on that account. Rahel had come to see her brother, Esther. They were two-egg twins, dizygotic, doctors call them, born from separate but simultaneously fertilized eggs. Esther, Estepan, was the older by 18 minutes. They never did look much like each other, Esther and Rahel, and even when they were thin-armed children, flat-chested, worm-ridden, and Elvis Presley puffed, there was none of the usual who is who and which is which from over-smiling relatives or the Syrian Orthodox bishops who frequently visited the Imanum house for donations. The confusion lay in a deeper, more secret place. In those early amorphous years when memory had only just begun, when life was full of beginnings and no ends, and everything was forever, Estepan and Rahel thought of themselves together as me, and separately, individually, as we, or us, as though they were a rare breed of Siamese twins, physically separate, but with joint identities. Now, these years later, Rahel has a memory of waking up one night, giggling at Esther's funny dream. She has other memories, too, that she has no right to have. She remembers, for instance, though she hadn't been there, what the orange drink lemon drink man did to Esther in Abulash Talkies. She remembers the taste of the tomato sandwiches, Esther's sandwiches, that Esther ate on the Madras mail to Madras. And these are only the small things. Anyway, now she thinks of Esther and Rahel as them, because separately the two of them are no longer what they were, or ever thought they'd be. Ever. Their lives have a size and a shape now. Esther has his, and Rahel hers.